and Gobert don't fit well with the team like the Warriors. They're like fish out of water because the Warriors don't got that traditional big to where they can anchor down and the ball's coming and they can do what they do best, the two centers. Dibs, where I'm going is I think both of those guys are liabilities. And Gobert didn't have a bad game, but he was invisible. He was not an option, and that plays into the Warriors' hands. So that's why if it's, they get past the end game and they get Phoenix or Utah, Dibs, is we got action.
He goes from Gobert to nowhere when he goes on the offensive end of the floor. I mean, Rudy nowhere. On the other end, he's thank you, Dipper Claus. He's the MVP. He's the DPOY. And I know Draymond has other thoughts maybe silent thoughts, SBD, silent but deadly, about who the best defensive player in our league is. And I'm no expert. I'm just a guy who's watched basketball since before all these kids were even alive, but that's neither here nor there. On offense, he's Rudy Nowhere.
Rudy Gobert reminds me of the third
or,
grade
Or, I'm sorry,
kid.
Steiny, or maybe it's Rudy Go There, and you actually point to the corner of the floor.
Well, where he was on the last play.
That's where,
the
I,
last
was, that's
five
where
minutes.
I was headed. That's where I was headed. Like a third grade Catholic schooler who just did something wrong. Go stand in the corner. Did you guys ever have to do that? Stand in the corner.
Actually, in high school,
we had the dunce hat. We used to get the dunce
hat. I'm not talking
hat.
About the high school Absolutely. Dance, school.
Yeah. No, would you stop playing. I was Michael Jackson. We had the dunce hat. You go in the corner with the dunce hat on, Stani, and then they got rid of that.
My teacher made me lean against the wall with a pencil between my forehead and the wall. I won't say the lady's name. Rest
That's
in peace.
That's a crime nowadays. You can't do
it. I was a high school. It was a Catholic school.
I don't know what Catholic schools you guys are going to. I just got to sit outside for like 10 minutes and come
it's
back in.
It's because you're a zygote. You can't even put kids on timeout anymore.
We've had this discussion before, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. And the segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Hell, they had a paddle when I was growing up.
Hello.
Exactly. You play to hit the ass. I mean, the bottom line is, in public school, they had you used to, the kids in wood shop had to make the paddles that they would end up getting hit with if they
Not
misbehaved.
Right. We were barbaric then, man. Yeah, we were barbaric. Our society
just to bring it back to hoop, and I will applaud the officials. I'll borrow from Bobby Fitz, who joins us at 11:48, Tuesday's Lunch with Fitz. They probably made the right call and the non-call on the Clarkson drive where Kevon, principle of verticality. Well, he didn't really jump straight up. He did kind of drift into the path. And was it Bazemore from behind or who was it from behind? He got a pretty decent piece of him too after the shot, but I didn't think it was a foul. It was good to see him let them play in this SOFT era.
I agree with that. You know, Clarkson could have gotten the call there. I like that he didn't get it. If nobody's going to get that call, that's I thought they did a good job of officiating actually last night.
And let's put the rat on the table, Steiny. Curry turned the ball over when they were down two, and they D'd Utah's ass up to where Clarkson jacked up a horrible shot that could have put him up four or five, and then they come back and do what they do. I'll say this. Had that been – we been in Utah, like I play, Clarkson would have got that whistle.
Clarkson took 33 shots in 35 minutes.
Damn.
You love that, Goo.
Just
tell me real quick how much you love that.
What I love is he's in shape to hoist up those shots, Dibs. Kobe used to – you got to be in shape to be a ball hawk, Russell Westbrook, but it's an art form just to be able to get off shots. Everybody can't do it.
Yeah, it's like a pitcher going out and throwing 128 pitches. You got to ice down after the game. But who else out there was honestly a threat to attack the basket or create his own? That Utah offense without Donovan Mitchell, it's a bit flaccid, Steiny.
Yeah, and
flaccid.
I
demand you react to
that. S-O-F-T.
I demand you react to it.
It's a word associated with non-sports things, but it can work in certain instances. I think they miss Conley too. I think, you know,
good
obviously
point.
He's no, a pretty good, good point guard. Yeah. The team wasn't whole, but nevertheless,
they got the lead. Steiny, they were up. That's what's bothering me.
Why doesn't it bother you that they like that the Warriors did what they could have folded their tents, as Mark Jackson would say.
Well, it bothered him when they beat Sacramento. Remember, that was it's embarrassing. It's an embarrassing win. And well, in the next game, they came out and they actually lost and looked way worse. And it's just perspective. I would rather have had them win by 15 or 18 and go away comfortably. But the fact that they gave it up and then were able to get it back, it's like when you leave your wallet somewhere and you get about 2 minutes down
El Segundo.
Oh my God. Yeah, but yeah. You gotta get it, got to get it. And then you run back to the watering hole or wherever you were and it's still sitting there on the bar. It's like, wow. Oh, thank God.
There.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, we all have your phone or whatever. That's what that was last night, I think, guys. You messed up. You done messed it up, but you were able to recover it just in time.
Yeah, I always just think of it as my big three, my keys, my phone, my wallet. Got to have the big three.
Oh, man.
And if you're never whole, if you're not whole there, you know you're not whole there. You know it right away.
If you throw a mask in there right now, sadly.
That's true.
The phone is number one on my list. Like, I'll get some other keys, Dibs. I'll call my credit cards. But that phone, oh, you're naked without it.
Hey, by the way, are you guys carrying – you guys carry cash anymore?
Oh, tons.
Yeah, I do.
Thousands, stacks.
It's in my blood, Sam. You like to pull out a wallet.
Major bag alert.
Yeah,
you may come upon some street commerce needs.
No.
Yeah,
no doubt, no doubt. But you know, it almost feels like now there's more places that aren't accepting cash than ever before. And
I found that cash is still king, and there
really?
Are some. Sometimes it's nice to be off the grid with expenditures and outlays. Mm,
that's true.
So it's, you know, occasionally it's nice to be able to break off a crisp 60 or 80. And be on to Cincinnati.
I'll say this, Dibs. Since the pandemic, Sonny, you can tell the clerks don't like the cash. It's like, do I got to touch it? Just where's your card at? You know, I'm like, I kind of get that, but I still break
it. But they will at the end of the day. They will take it. No doubt about it.
Cash me out one time.
Let me throw this out there to Warrior fans at 888-957-9570. But first to you guys. Did it feel like there was a legitimate crowd almost at the Chase Center last night? I saw they had 4,155 in attendance. I'm not saying it was We Believe, too. By the way, what an anniversary today is. Celebrating.
When's the doc coming out? I'm sorry, Stoney. I got to get that out.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. Matt Barnes and – you know what? Matt Barnes and Al Harrington and Steven Jackson and Barron, they don't feel like big – deadline guys, if you know what I mean. This thing could linger for a few years. I get the sense, Goo.
I got so many jokes, Diz, but I'll let you go because, you know, I love the hippie lettuce too, so that might have something to do with it. I don't know.
I mean, it's a perfect collection of guys with the perfect head coach against the perfect opposition in Dallas and Avery Johnson. I mean, the perfect storm of events was so magical. And then it's so typical Warrior fan base that we all romanticize this one dunk in a blowout where an undersized yet girthy guard smashed on the entire nation of Russia. They lost the series in five.
Yeah.
Utah was a good team. Utah went on to lose to the Spurs in five in the Western Finals, but the romanticization of that, and I'm chief among them, and I'm in the head of that bus.
You were there. But, you were in the house.
Yeah, but when you think about it, they were up by 20. I mean, that game was over.
But it was about what it signaled. We just knocked off Dallas. We are here. That's what that dunk was. We are official, Steiny.
You know what?
I was throwing this out, Steiny, in the green room, and I mean, it would be great to hear from him. Jaren Collins was on the bench for that one. The bench of Utah. Jaren Collins played minutes and 7 seconds in that ball game. You look at some of the great names, like Paul Millsap, by the way, was on that team, still playing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, tip of the cap to the Sap, who's still out there 14 years later.
You want to talk about romanticizing it. There was a – so this is what I remember thinking at the time. So the Warriors go play Utah, and if anybody remembers, they absolutely flat-out blew game two. Game one, Steven Jackson missed a three that could have won it. Game two, they blew a lead late. Game three, they came back and they ended up winning. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at the other series, and I believe it was the Spurs against the Suns. Well, the Warriors that year had not played the Suns after they had acquired Steven Jackson and Al Harrington. The Suns had played the Warriors three times before the trade was made. So I was thinking, well, wait a minute. If the Warriors can beat Utah, which they could because they pissed away two games, and they get Phoenix – well, Phoenix hasn't seen this Warriors team this year because they played games against Dunleavy and Murphy. Needless to say, after I started thinking that way, neither the Spurs, neither the Suns nor the Warriors won another game. But what might have been? What might have been? All right, what might be this year? That's my question to Warrior fans after last night. 888-957-9570 is the number. Do you start to feel like this team can do some damage in the playoffs? All right, can they win a play-in game or two if they have to? And then can they give Utah or can they give the Phoenix Suns a run? And are you more encouraged by the way this team's playing now than you were early in the season? 888-957-9570. It's all brought to you by Jose Cuervo.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Warriors. 119-116 win over Utah. They stay locked into the eight spot. Here's one thing I was thinking about. If you're Utah or Phoenix, right now Utah's a game and a half up on Phoenix. Don't you want to get the number one seed? Because if you get two, you may get you're looking maybe at the Lakers. And I was thinking about tonight's game against Phoenix, and I wonder if Phoenix might come in here and mail it in. I don't think they're going to do that because if they win tonight, and I'm talking about Phoenix, they're just a game behind Utah. And, you know, you can say what you want about the Lakers, but somebody may get hosed who finishes in that second seed if they end up having to play a healthy Lakers team. So I think the Warriors are going to get a good effort by the Suns tonight. And that game starts, by the way, at 7 o'clock. And as you guys know, 5:30, Warriors live with J.D. Covey and Jimmy Barnett.
You want to put yourself in the best possible position as the number one seed. And I think especially now where let's assume it finishes Lakers, Warriors, Grizzlies, Spurs. And then the Spurs play the Grizzlies. Lakers and Warriors, well, you would figure the Lakers are going to be favored in that one. So the Lakers, probably 5-point favorites at home. Lakers beat the Warriors, so you as a one seed would then avoid the Lakers in the most logical scenario. And in that case, the Warriors would then host the winner of the 9-10. Let's say it's Memphis, just for the sake of them playing twice in 5 days then. Mm. Well, now you'd have to beat Memphis a second straight time, which is not easy to do. So in essence, Goo, you've kind of got your own little three-game, four-game series now between here, the Memphis game, and then the play-in game, which could be two play-in games, including a rematch with Memphis.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here thinking about it. You know, you guys said if it holds, basically, and the Warriors are 7, Steiny, and they go to the offs, excuse me, 8, and right. Win that game. I just, again, man, I am really excited about the chances, possibly it being Utah or Phoenix. And the center position is a lot of that. And also now that I'm putting Looney, rightfully so, in that pedigree capsule with Draymond, rightfully so, and Steph Curry. I think that's not – we're not talking about that enough, and it does mean something. And last year was all bad because, you know, of Steph's injury and no bubble, but – I'm excited, and I can't wait, man. I really think this team has action. And if you two are right that, you know what, Pascal being out, Oubre being out, that's okay. They're hitting their stride. Then, man, all cylinders are, you know, clicking, and let's get it on, as Marvin Gaye once said.
Well, I'll throw it out to Warrior fans at 888-957-9570. You tell us why the Warriors are playing their best basketball of the season right now, despite injury. I want to know why. You know why? You tell me why this team is finding an identity despite being down a bunch of players. And look, they're 12-5 over their last 17 games, and you just can't ignore that. They were 23-27 at one point, and now they're three games over. So this team's got action. This team's got action right now. And you know what else I was thinking is Sunday they play the Grizzlies. That's essentially the start of the playoffs. Because if they lose that game, that means they're 9. And they're going to have to win 2 after that. If they win that game, all they have to do is win 1 game after that. So it is clearly a big game on Sunday against Memphis.
And that's where last night became significant in and of itself, because it kind of takes the pressure off tonight against Phoenix. Because I mentioned, Steiny, you're really looking at a split, if you can, between Utah and Phoenix, knowing that likely it's going to come down to Memphis anyway. Now, if you somehow pull off another impressive victory and you beat Phoenix, and well, maybe Memphis has a hiccup in their game. Not that it's an easy game, but then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you're up by a game and a half, and now the onus is on Memphis to stay within one game, because, you know, Dallas is still playing for something at 40-28 on the road at Memphis tonight. So it's fun to do a little scoreboard watching, and as much as, you know, the play-in game and the play-in tournament or the standalone bonanza, whatever they're calling it, it has created some good late-season intrigue.
Absolutely. It really has, Dibs. And, you know, last night, before the Warriors, you know, game was finished, the Spurs had won, the Grizzlies had won, and, you know, you lose that game last night, and now you're behind the Grizzlies, and you got to peek over your shoulder a little bit at the Spurs, who, I get their schedule's brutal down the stretch, but it looks like they're going to win enough to hang in there. So, I do think that this play-in game has created more drama. Although, if there weren't a play-in game, then the Warriors would be in this, stay in the 8 spot and we're fine, but they'd only be a half game up on Memphis, and one of those teams would probably be eliminated, and the Spurs would be done by now.
Yeah, and it would come down to that Memphis game, and that would be a true play-in game. So, you know, maybe by creating this play-in tournament, you're just guaranteeing that you have a game 72 or normally a game 82 that matters this much. Because, you know, Goo, we talked about when we were running down our top fives a couple weeks ago about that A's game against the Texas Rangers that was game 162 for the division. You know, loser gets the card, fine, but that was for the division titles and just the fun of those types of games. So not to look past Phoenix or New Orleans, but that Memphis game is going to be a good one, a fun one.
And Steiny, you know what, Dave? You already got me excited. Now I'm super excited. And Steiny, you did say something earlier that I didn't get a chance to make a rebuttal. And the crowd did sound, you know, loud last night. And do you think it's just because now we're getting closer to the ins and then the offs? You think that's what it was? Because when you looked at the total capacity, it wasn't more than it had been there previously. So if they can, you saw Draymond going Hercules, talking to the crowd. I love that stuff. So I think they're getting in playoff mode too, is where I'm going, the fans.
Shame on me for not looking. I know that the first game back at Oracle, they had maybe 1,800. So I get the sense over 4,000 might be their season high this year. I actually talked to somebody who was at the game, and they said, you know, it was kind of loud, but he said not as loud as you'd expect because everybody was wearing a mask still inside. But, you know, maybe it was just the visual of the first row, which was pretty crowded. And a lot of people on that first row were standing, and maybe it just gave for a better visual. But I felt like both the Giants and the Warriors last night had some people in the stands.
I wonder if that's part of your own, and not just you, but our own conditioned response to where a good thing happens, you see a crowd, and you anticipate hearing the crowd noise. It's kind of like when you go to an indoor thing and they're doing the Star Spangled Banner, and then they have the torches that come up, and you feel like you're so close to it that you can actually feel the heat. Can you feel the heat, or is it a psychosomatic response to knowing that that's flame and that's hot? And that's kind of what I was going through, Stani, watching the game. It's like, man, you're hearing the crowd. The crowd is into it. It's like, you know, is it pumped in? Am I just anticipating it? What really is it?
Or like my favorite pizza combination, you know, Stani, you got the real crowd and then pump it in. Help us. Because, I mean, they were loud last night. Oracle, excuse me, Chase was, it was off to cheesy. That means the chain. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Goo. I appreciate that. When you help me out with linguistics, because there are a lot I'm not familiar with. Listen to this on the text line. And vintage two schools of thought here. From the 240, not sure where that is. Warriors are playing their best basketball for two reasons. Oubre has been moved to the bench, and no Pascal and Wiseman. All right, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. 415 says, I think they're playing better because it's all about trying to maximize Steph's prime instead of balancing that and development. Yeah, I think that's a good part of it too. And now one of our favorites of all time, one of the great texters, Greg in San Francisco, who always has a different version of things, playing their best basketball now, reasons? How about OKC twice, the Jazz without Mitchell and Conley, the Kings without Fox, the Nuggets without Murray, and two against the Pelicans? What's that? Six armpits? That's according to Greg, our friend in San Francisco.
I had it as the hostess stretch in the green room. Good. I had that in the green room as the hostess stretch, the cupcakes. And, you know, the injuries happen, and sometimes the schedule shakes and breaks your way. But you did have a couple against the Thunder, god-awful. And, Steiny, it still is a fascinating race for the bottom in our league. And that's why I've been betting these five-team teasers, is because there are certain teams that are they're bound to lose. So you get 5 points on the favorite, and you just fade them even harder, collect a few teams together, and yeah, you do all right, Goo. Because, you know, teams like Detroit and, you know, Sacramento's a team still fighting. There's some teams that are still fighting, some that have just straight packed it in. Houston, the Thunder.
Thunder, I'm doing my best to try to pack it in.
Yeah. I'm doing my best to not turn the party down, because I was, again, concerned about how that game ended. I got it up now. And where I'm going is, would you two be as euphoric as you are now had that game resulted or culminated in a loss? Because to the texter's point, that last one about the opponent, I think, like the Lake, there's some merit to it, you know, and they're taking advantage of it. But at the end of the day, when you get into these ins and offs, Dibs, the eight-man rotation, the fatigue, and we'll talk to Fitz coming up here at 11:48, but I think that's real. That's something that you can't just say, we don't need bodies and we're better. But, yeah, you're better because you are playing a lesser opponent here, you know, and he ran it down, and those are facts.
Yeah, but ultimately, the only thing that matters is the number under the W and the number under the L. And if you got to play eight for a short stretch, then you play eight for that stretch, because you don't have much left. Goo, you've been the one beating this drum now for about a week. Like, we're coming to the end. We got to cherish this. And, you know, they're going to chase wins. And thank you for chasing wins, playing eight guys. And not that you're overstressing Steph, because you're not, but other guys are playing more minutes and taking on bigger pieces of chicken than they normally would, and that's great. And, you know, this is the fun time, so I'm just basking in it. And last night, Goo, yes, if they would have blown that 18-point lead, even though it would have culminated in a winning two-teamer for your boy, we would have ripped them for 4 hours, because that's inexcusable that you let that go, that you blow that kind of lead. But you know what? They didn't. Number 30 got two looks at it.
Number 30.
Number five with the hustle play, and you give 32 looks at home? I'll take that.
Yeah.
Night.
No doubt of it. And that's what it was after Curry buried that shot with 13 seconds remaining. You know,
I heard Kipe in my head in terms of my parlay as soon as that ball went through the net.
God. Like,
yeah, I don't even refresh the balance. It's, you know, thanks, Kipe.
Well, So wait, you had the you had the
Giants to Utah.
He had the Jazz.
No, Utah. Yeah. Money line -130.
Sorry,
which
yeah. Oh, felt like it was my bet.
I only say it because, and again, this is not. And I had a mortgage. This was it. Liquidate all assets. That's the hilarity of the bit is. You're betting crumbs. $1.50 to win $2.85. Come on.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say though it was like giving points to Brady in the Super Bowl. So you went against what you did at the Super Bowl.
Correct. I was saying that giving Steph two shots at a three-pointer to win it is like you offering me Tampa Bay at home and points. I mean, it's a slam dunk guarantee. Steph's not going to miss both of those.
No.
I was stunned the first one missed. When Looney tracked it down when Steph was open-ish, it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah, Stoddy makes fun of me, you know, how I watch games, and I say, oh, at this juncture, the first quarter is over. When Steph missed that shot, Stoddy, can you two walk me through your first initial thought? Because as soon as he missed it, I go, Utah. Gobert had his hands on it. I go, they didn't blew this damn game. Did that even come into your thought, man, your thought process, or you just, let me watch it play out?
To me, honestly, once they got the rebound, I thought it was over. And I'm telling, like, to me, the best play you can run for a three-point shot is to get the first offensive rebound because it puts the other team in a scramble situation. That's exactly what happened. And I'll tell you what, and I'll go back to the Warriors' first championship. There's no team better at making a three off an offensive rebound than the Warriors over the last 6 years. They've done it so many times, and they've got such an understanding that when they get an offensive rebound, chances are it's going to be their best opportunity to get Curry a good look from three, and they take advantage of it.
And that's because he is elite among the best ever at off-the-ball movement. But also, I think to the greater point we've been making all day, guys, is – when you play the eight guys who understand how to play with Steph, that's a perfect situation where that manifests more often because as soon as you see you're going to get that offensive rebound, Steph's already cutting to the spot where he wants it, and the other four guys, they know what comes next. And so it's secure, deliver, and watch the magic happen.
Yeah. I'm watching a lot of high school, Steiny and Dibs, with my son being in AAU / high school. And Dibs just mentioned Steph off the ball. I see the kids jacking the three from distance, but I don't see them. And I'm watching this because I appreciate it, Steiny. They're not moving without the ball, and I just wonder why that is. And I don't want to say it's easy. I know Reggie Miller, even my guy Eddie House, to a degree, he would run. But you see a lot of dudes just pros standing around, and that's what makes DeChev special. He can move without the ball.
You know what that is, Goo? Is first of all, moving without the ball is incredibly difficult. It's hard work, and oftentimes
you
get unfulfilled because only one person per possession is going to get the ball and be able to shoot unless you get an offensive rebound. So you can work and work and not get rewarded. It's like cold calls when you're in sales. Anyone can sell off a hot lead. I work for Players Club International, Telly Savalas' company, and we'd get hot leads like 1 week out of the year. We were calling the coldest leads ever.
Hello?
But if you cold calling is like moving without the ball, and you know, if you put That's in the great. Time, you'll get the rewards.
I read something. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And speaking of moving without the ball, I read something on Twitter last night that to me was just an unbelievable point. Just an incredible point. The guy's name's Nate Jones. He works for a player agency, but he's a big he's really knowledgeable about the game. And this was something that stuck out. Listen to what he said. Is Steph Curry the quickest player we've ever seen running off the ball? The type of players that usually run off of screens and reposition usually aren't quick. They kill you with constant movement and using screens, but it usually doesn't involve speed and quickness. Rip Hamilton and Reggie Miller, they were marathon runners on offense. They just wear you down running off of picks. But Steph does the same thing, but he uses his quickness off moving without the ball. And I thought that was a great point because a lot of times you'll see Curry, he'll stand and boom. Then he'll use something and just get a half a step, and that's all he needs when guys know when and how to deliver him the ball.
And that's to your point about offensive rebounding off a three, because he knows instinctively as soon as the ball comes off the rim if it's a gettable offensive rebound. And if he's playing with guys who also understand that, they know to grab it and find where he's made that three-step cut, knowing that he only needs the ball in his hands for about 0.6 seconds until that thing is up and away. So, and I thought the Kevon Looney play was a perfect illustration of that, Goo. Just the, you know, what happens when you play with guys who you're comfortable with and who you know so well.
Yeah, and Stoney talked about it. It was frantic city for Utah once it was scrambled eggs, you know, once they got that possession. And for him to get that good of a look, you know, on the second time around, it was just special. But again, Stoney, the guy just – and maybe he does. I don't hear it or see it. And your guy Jones, he was on point with that assessment. But his ability to run without the ball is just – it's amazing. And I just wonder, to Dibs's point, why we don't see it more. But you mentioned marathon runners. I think I know why. Guys may not be in that shape, or they don't want to waste their juice doing that for maybe – Dibs, to your point, something that may not pay off.
Yeah. It's not easy. Otherwise everybody would do it. But we all, like, can name the guys who did it great. Reggie Miller. Jeff Hornacek was great off the ball.
Steiny, do you floss, Steiny? Do you ever floss?
You know what? I should do it more. But occasionally
it's like moving without the ball.
Picks,
flossing,
you know,
is like moving without the ball. It's like you gotta do it every day. You got to make sure that you always have floss. And I'm down to brush, trust me, but that's what it is, Goo.
Not extra
flossing.
Mile, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've always struggled flossing, to tell you the truth.
You probably moved without the ball, though, back in your days at Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah.
Franklin and Marshall. I'm just trying to poke the bear a little bit.
Not as much. We were.
Did you shoot it off the dribble, Steiny?
D3.
Come on.
Or you were catch and shoot.
I could do that.
Don't kid yourself. Bob Fitzgerald up in 10 minutes.
That's right.
Thank
you very much.
You know this, Matt, because you're a good guard and you're a high-level player.
Hey, do you guys – before the game started, we had a little news with Bazemore saying something about Bradley Beal. Like, hey, Bradley Beal, you guys should dig into Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's out right now with a hamstring injury. And I mean, Bazemore kind of took a shot at Beal, and then Beal came back at him, and eventually Beal had this to say on First Take. This is Beal on First Take, and it's from today, guys. Take a listen.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the last part of the comment. The first half of it about what Steph was doing was, I'm with you. 49 and 29 minutes is, I think everybody in here can agree that that's remarkable. And
yep.
Truly amazing, right? So nobody's arguing that. But I didn't mention you. My hamstrings have nothing to do with why I go out there and play the game. And for me to injure my hamstring and then you kind of make a joke about it, I don't take that too fondly, honestly, because I take pride in being somebody who, my first 4 years, I was always labeled as an injury-prone guy. I was always labeled as somebody who couldn't stay on the floor. So I take pride in my body. I take pride in being on the floor and being available for my team and giving my team the best chance to win. My main focus is getting us to the playoffs, and that's all I'm focused on. And so that was just all I was just trying to kind of get my point across. So just keep your situation over there. Let's just keep it hoops. You know, don't make fun of something that's not funny.
Yeah, and basically Bazemore, it sounded to me like, and I heard the quote, he questioned that Beal was he really hurt or not? Hey, you guys need to maybe look into that. I mean, a little bit uncalled for from Bazemore. Goo, how'd you feel about that?
It's the new sensitivity amongst athletes, but I'll say this. You guys asked my opinion, and I'm going Dr. Field, Dr. Daryl in this instance. I think it was status-related. I think it was the fact that Bazemore is not in the caliber or star player like a Steph Curry or Beal, and that's why Beal took offense to it. But hearing Beal talk, you know, we just say, oh, he strained his hammy, but it is an injury, Dibs, and he took offense to that, to another player laughing at that. But I'll say this, watching Bazemore at the podium last last night. I wanted to give him a dap. He said, guys just can't take a joke. That's all he was doing in his assessment, pointing out that Beal had injured his hammy trying to keep up with Steph. And the fact that Bazemore didn't respond, that was the high road, Dibs. And he said this, I'm team 30 all day. And the question was posed to him. Maybe he phrased it wrong, but he didn't mean any harm. And I think Beal kind of was ultra sensitive here, but I do understand the point Beal was trying to make as well.
No, you don't get to play both sides. You were the one who brought the story up. You were the one who came at Bazemore. You can't now try to double down and play reversal because
I got new information.
No, good. I'm afraid that we don't want you in our camp because I'm Team Bazemore through and through. B-E-A-L-S-O-F-T. We're talking about a strained hamstring, and he didn't. All he said was joking around that Beal's playing so hard. It was a compliment. Yeah. Beal's playing so hard trying to keep up with Steph that he strained his hammy. Now, obviously, that's not how he strained his hamstring. Right. We're not talking about an ACL. We're not talking about an Achilles. Tommy John wasn't involved. Oh. You know, Dr. Job did not get consulted on this. He hurt his hamstring, and he's going to have hurt feelings because Kent Bazemore, a journeyman, dared to intimate that he's overstraining trying to catch the chef. Come on, Beal. That
like
to me.
Four or five tweets, too, Dibs. Yeah,
it's just,
some leg
honestly. And then, yeah, he sent him an emoji of a clown. Ooh, we're going to swap emojis.
Get off of Twitter.
Bazemore countered with a gif. And then, you know, please, just give it a rest. And by give it a rest, I don't mean your hamstring because I know you're off your feet. But let's just. Let's not be such rabbit ears on social media.
Wow. All right.
Fake internet crap.
It was a tweet. Down. It was a tweet.
I'm down on Bazemore. I think he was completely in the wrong. And I'll just quote my main man, Ludacris, stay out my business.
My business.
And he had no – is that what yeah, my business. Yeah. He
it's
had
then
no
– business is the second
okay, yeah. I only wanted to take
He actually is doing a heck of a job. He is. He is his time. Yeah. His time.
Basically,
keep my name
those,
out your mouth is another –
Yeah, what's that phrase? It's an A and B conversation. See your way out of it.
The best
Bazemore.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, we come back. Bob Fitzgerald, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, next on 95.7 The Game. And he'll be brought to you by Jose Cuervo.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
3 minutes. Monte Ellis is at the scorer's table. Barron likely done. By the way, Blues are shot 56% this year.
Oh, Barron! Shouts it down on Kirilenko's head. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me with the right-hand spike? Do you believe now?
Oh, yes. 14 years ago today, that was Bob Fitzgerald on the call, the famous Baron Davis dunk. Not bad, Fitz. Not bad. Well done. Well
done. I'll tell you what. A couple of years ago, I looked. It had like 4 million hits on YouTube or whatever. People seem to like that play.
I've watched it 87 times myself, Bob. And I need to apologize for drowning you out. You can clearly hear me and 19,700 of my closest friends in the background.
Well, there's a little backstory to that. And you hear it in the very beginning is – I see Barron kind of getting ready to gear up, so I'm ready for something crazy to happen. And Jim is talking about Carlos Boozer's free throwing in the middle of the play. And I literally have to put my arm across his chest and make him shut up so I could call that because we almost missed that play. And then I do like when we went to break, they slow-mo'd it. And the one I didn't care for Kirilenko too much at that time. But I basically was like, "Hey, put that in your flat top." that was my rollout. Thanks for playing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, one of the loudest moments ever, I think, at Oracle Arena.
Yeah. Hey. Now wait, I got to ask you guys because everybody can weigh in because you all know it. The dunk for Utah, but I got to tell you, Matt, Matt Barnes hit a three in game six against Dallas. And that when that three went in with like a minute 12 left, that was the Warriors are going to win this series.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I thought there was an earthquake. I literally thought something has shifted in this building because the crescendo of that noise had like a physical quality to it. So when people say, well, you know, when's the loudest thing you ever had at Oracle? That Matt Barnes three, man, you know, and I'd said, you know, the biggest shot of his career, but like it felt like the floor tilted. I mean, that was when 20,000 people realized, oh my God, you know, they're going to beat the Mavs. This is going to happen.
Fitz, you're invited to my party. It's the playoff party. I've been consistent all year. We're almost there. First to play in, but if it's Utah or Phoenix, do you feel me now? Did you see anything last night that says, you know what? My guy Guru might be right. Maybe they can neutralize Gobert, and they got action against Utah if they link up with them in a seven-game series.
Well, you know what's weird about that is they beat Utah now two out of the three regular season games. But last night's weird because you don't have Conley and Mitchell, and so it's hard to – extrapolate Utah's playing without guards. However, the one thing you take out of it where you are, you know, you're driving right down the middle of the road, Guru, is they aren't going to fear Utah. I could tell you that. I mean, Utah is probably better. You know, they got 50 wins for a reason, but it's not like the Warriors are going to have, you know, any fear or feel like they're intimidated against those guys at all.
How about the final sequence, Fitz, last night? You know, Warriors up 18. It looks like, oh goodness, this might get away, and Steph misses the three. Take me through it after that, where you realize Kevon's going to get there, and they're going to get a second crack at it from number 30.
Well, I couldn't, you know, first of all, Looney now three straight games, double-digit rebounding. He's never done that in his career, which was great. Long shots yield long rebounds, and that's, you know, when you have athletic guys are going for the scatter rebounds, that should be a Warrior strength. That's why the games where they don't rebound get you frustrated, because they have Bazemore and they have Wiggins, they have Looney, Draymond, like, and Steph is a good rebounder for his size. So it ricochets out. You knew he was going to get it back to Draymond, and then Draymond said postgame, you know, he's going to look for Steph no matter what. Royce O'Neal had done such a great job on Steph all game out top. I don't know why he bought the fake back to midcourt.
Yeah.
Steph, like, juked him back to the logo and then cut back to the three-point arc. You know, it was all without a screen. And then, man, there's just a few threes where when Steph has missed one, you know he's not going to miss that next one. So that was amazing. But we did say, you know, at the beginning of that four, I mean, I kept saying it, Utah averages 31 in the fourth. They're the best fourth-quarter team. Even at 12-15, Kalen and I were not very giddy because it was just like, here comes a run. So when Clarkson, you know, went nuts and they actually took the lead, it was like, oh, man, this one's going to hurt. And then so to pull it back out of the fire was really, really big, because the Warriors had not done that in a lot of games this year. They've squandered some, but they never pulled a few of them back. That's why that was a really good win.
Bob Fitzgerald, voice of the Warriors. You can hear him on NBC Sports Bay Area, and you can hear him tonight at 7 o'clock. Warriors, Suns, don't forget they have a game tonight. Fitz, I want to be careful here because I'm not saying that the Warriors are better without certain guys, but it does seem to me like they found an identity without Wiseman, Oubre, and Pascal. Is that a coincidence, do you think? I quite frankly think that this team right now, the players on this team know exactly how to play with Steph, exactly how to maximize, you know, the ability of the team. And I don't know. I mean,
were you saying that when Dallas beat them by 40 and Minnesota beat them by double digits and crushed them on the glass? Because that just happened a week ago where they looked pathetic. Without any size or athleticism.
Here's what I'm saying. For Wiseman, he's a rookie. He had so much to learn.
Right.
He had to worry a lot about himself and how to play in the NBA. Oubre, sometimes I just don't think he fits. Is he going to be here next year? Is he not going to be here next year? He's got, you know, and his style of play I'm not crazy about on this particular team. It just seems like the players right now know so well how to play with Steph.
No, that you're you're talking on two different things, and you're probably right on both, is that the guys with only eight guys playing definitely know how to play off Steph. What I'm saying is Steph against the world is not a winning formula moving forward if you want to win a championship, because as brilliant as he is, you lose in New Orleans because he goes 1-for-12 down the stretch, and you have nobody else that can go and make a basket. And so to beat an elite team, you know, over a long period of time or get through multiple playoff series, Steph's brilliance is amazing. Draymond's playing at the height of his abilities. You need other guys. You know, that's the – you need other guys. And so, you know, the one I liked was when Steph had 62 against Portland. That's also when Wiseman had a double-double in that game. And nobody was saying, oh, Steph can't go crazy and Wiseman holds him back. That was the best Steph's ever scored in his life. And it's because he had a big guy who was a huge threat all during the game. So, I, you know, give me all the talent. I'll take lots of talented guys, like 9, 10, 11 talented guys, rather than eight guys. And, you know, you're riding on, you know, that reserve tire you get when your tire blows and it only goes for 50 miles? That's what they're on. They're on that reserve tire right now. I don't want to play a whole season next year on the reserve tire.
Fitz, I got an old Cadillac. I got two of those tires. I know what you're talking about. Let me give you this, Fitz. You talk about a metamorphosis. Outside of Steph Curry, and I'm about to shock my guys here, outside of Steph Curry, the biggest story to me in this Warriors season has been Jordan Poole. And when he was going to Santa Cruz, honestly, Fitz, me personally, I thought he was done. I was like, he'll never come back from that. My fault. But where I'm going is – He's hunting for shots, and if this team is going to do something on the next level in the offs, this ain't going away. This is a real thing. Now, whether he's hot or he's off, the opportunity is there. Just share with me what you think of what I'm saying and how surprised are you in what you're seeing from, hopefully, a Jordan Clarkson in the making.
Well, you're hitting on something that, you know, I think would be a good kind of thing for everybody to grab for a second. Why would you give up on a 20-year-old last year or going down to Santa Cruz? What, I mean, seriously, like, can't anyone get to be 21, 22, 23, 24, and we actually see if they can play or not? What the hell is this? If someone's, you know, plays 12 games when they're 20 years old, that's the end of their career. We got to stop that. So Jordan Poole was the 28th pick in the draft. He played, you know, came out of college a year too early. Last year was his college year. And this year, he's been up and down, but I like what you said in terms of this whole season is about who can be part of the next journey for the Warriors. Steph will be there. Klay will be there. Draymond will be there. Looney will be there. And then Jordan Poole, I agree with you 100%, is going to be there. He's going to be part of the next edition of the Dubs. And you see the pyrotechnics. When he plays well, they are really good because he's a creator and a scorer and an energy guy off the bench, and they're dying for those type of players.
Is it troubling then, thus, that we can't see Alan Smalley-Geach and Nico Mannion even in a, hey, you've got a pulse situation?
No, because I think that, you know, Smiley's a 39th pick and Nico's the 48th or something, is that you're just going to – you want guys – to not be on a team because you're better next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be, hey, they're not here. Right, because there's better players instead of them. And that would be a good thing.
Bob Absolutely. Fitzgerald joining us on 95.7 The Game, the voice of the Golden State Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. Tip-off tonight at 7. If you're going to go radio, 95.7 The Game's got Warriors Live at 5:30 with J.D., Covey and Jim Barnett. Bob, have your impressions of this team changed at all over the last month in terms of what their ceiling might be?
Okay, so we've all hung out all season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what I said the Warriors' record would be? 100 times with you guys, the morning show, the afternoon show.
I think you had it at 38-34, Bob.
38-34. How's that 38-34 looking, guys?
Looking better than my 33-39, Fitz. I'll tell you that.
38-34 and the eighth seed was the Fitz prediction preseason, middle of the season, late in the season, and the final week of the season. I'm staying with 38-34 in the eighth seed. And so No, my impressions of the team vis-a-vis where they sit in the West have not changed that much. I am actually very surprised in a great way that if you would have told me Pascal's going to miss all this time, Wiseman's going to miss all this time, Oubre's going to miss this time, Looney's going to be out 11 games, Steph's going to miss 8 games, Draymond's going to miss at the beginning of the year. Like, if you would have told me all that and they still got to 38 and 34, I'd be like, wow, okay, great. How did they do that? Well, they did that because, like Guru said, Poole came along, Juan Toscano-Anderson came along, Bazemore had his best career shooting year, Wiggins had his best career shooting year. Like, there's, and then, by the way, Steph went, hey, I'll just remind everybody, I can play at an MVP level and be one of the best players in the whole league. So, you know, it's been really, I think, a fun year, a frustrating year. I wish other guys weren't hurt so we could see them in the crucible of, you know, postseason games. But I'm still the exact same optimism level for the next couple years because here's the last one that, and you guys are smart enough to get this. I don't know where people are going sideways on this. As Minnesota has won games, that means the Warriors are going to get their pick, or at least the math even gets better.
Right.
It used to be 60-40. Now it's going to be 70-30. And so if you get the 6th pick, the 4th pick, the 7th pick, the math doesn't work that they get the 5th. But 4, 6, 7, 8 plus 17, you can have the 7th pick and the 17th pick and Clay, and you're adding all that on top of this? That makes you feel really good kind of moving forward the next couple of years.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, thank you so much. It's getting fun. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Do you guys want to print something out, keep it, and throw it in the garbage later? Read the ESPN next 3 years projections of NBA teams. They have the Warriors at 15th. They're not 15th now. What the hell are these guys doing? Yeah. I mean, it's like the people that had the Warriors at 11th or 12th before this season. Like, did people watch basketball for a living? What is going on here? 15th over the next 3 years. Give me. I mean, are they expecting like a, you know, an incident at Chase Center and the building's uninhabitable, or what the hell are people watching?
We'll talk about it after you get off the air, maybe, because that's a good question, Bob. Appreciate it.
15th,
you're stirring a topic for us.
Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Wiseman, 2 number one picks, Poole, Pascal. Yeah, 15th. Okay, 15th over the next 3 years. All right, I got it.
All right,
love
that's
it, guys.
Bob Fitzgerald.
See how the season finishes. It's going to be fun.
Yes, sir. You can hear Fitz, 7 o'clock tonight, Warriors, Suns at the Chase Center. Bob Fitzgerald, he's high on the Warriors. Guys, I don't know if you know that. Especially their future. But the one thing I was thinking about is I was going back to the beginning of the year when Clay got hurt.